This is Wine and Dine in LA with Anush, where I talk about wine in a fun and approachable way and bring you all insights of the world of wine.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Wine and Dine in LA with Anush, where I take you behind the scenes of iconic eateries, restaurants, and share with you the inside of wine industry. I hope you had a wonderful and productive week and ready to unwind with a glass of wine. Our today's conversation is promising to be very delicious, and actually this is a food or food preparation that has evidence dating as far as 800,000 years. Imagine that. Today our guest is David Baudasaran, president of International Grill Inc., owner of Masis Kebab, the original kebabery. Hi, David. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, Anush. Thank you so much for having me on. It's a pleasure to talk to you, as always.
This is such an exciting topic, and a topic that dates to so many, like the food that dates to so many hundred thousand years. This is something that still is among our food and something that everybody absolutely loves.
You're absolutely right about that. What I tell people, I mean, nowadays everybody knows, thankfully, what Mediterranean food is, what Middle Eastern food is, Armenian, Persian, Lebanese. But when my dad started this business in the 70s, there was a learning curve. There was a time where you had to actually explain to somebody what a kebab was, believe it or not. And you had to explain to people what a shawarma was. You had to explain to people what tabbouleh, hummus. And it's now a totally different world, because you walk into any Trader Joe's in Los Angeles and there's maybe like 6 or 7 different flavors of hummus. Not that hummus should ever have a flavor.
Yeah.
But those who are traditionalists, you know, our hummus is hummus. It tastes like hummus. But yeah, it just shows how popular this food has become. But it wasn't always like that. I remember my dad had to explain to people.
But what is kebab? What is it? Why don't you explain for someone, maybe someone who doesn't know? There might be somebody.
Yeah, and you hit it right. It's probably maybe the only food that dates back. We've always had food going back to like caveman times, right? But it's the one food that honestly hasn't really changed. The concept hasn't changed, and what it is essentially is cooking or grilling meat on an open fire that's placed on some sort of a skewer, a sheesh, or some metal object, or could be a wooden object. Back in the day in the Ottoman Empire, they used to use the swords of the soldiers, and you just rotate the meat on an open fire. Of course, nowadays we have the convenience of, gas grilled and, an exhaust system, and we do it indoors at the convenience of our house or inside a shopping mall or at a fancy restaurant. But the beauty of this food is really the concept hasn't changed. You know, what we're doing, you could go to a rural village in Armenia, in, anywhere in the Middle East, Greece, and see the same way people are preparing this food. They're essentially the key ingredient of this type of cooking is the freshness, right? Fresh products. We don't add preservatives. We don't add any sugars. We don't add anything. It's basically the freshness of the meat is what, in my opinion, gives it its flavor and taste. Yeah, that's kind of how we've been doing it. Our menu hasn't changed. We're in our 44th year in business.
I saw the slogan saying celebrating 40 years of grilled perfection. What an accomplishment. Congratulations on that. And I just, before we start talking more about the business, for me, it's very important to learn the story of the family, especially being in business for 40 years, that means hard work and success. If you don't mind sharing how your family came, how the business started and immigrated to U.S. to this land of opportunities and country that rewards you for hard work and a place that you can do whatever you want. So why don't you share a little bit of the background and how then you went into the, your family went into the business?
Well, you know, my father was one who started this business, and contrary to a lot of people's beliefs, his name is not Masis. you know, obviously Armenians know Masis is, you know, the Mount Ararat. It's what, you know, we emotionally refer to Mount Ararat, Masis being the big peak and Sis being the small peak, and that's obviously the reference. But people used to always call my dad Mr. Masis all the time, and he wore that badge with happiness. I mean, he was never upset that people referred to him that way because he loved the business. Interestingly enough, he actually was not the original founder of the business. I was born in Iran, in Tehran. My parents were born there. Originally, my grandparents were born in Baku. And then they, when the Bolshevik Revolution happened, they migrated to Tehran, and that's where my father was born. And then his father had a paint supply business, and he supplied all the local, you know, Armenian, Iranian painters in the area with paint and paint supplies. And then when the Islamic Revolution happened in 1978-79, our family migrated to Los Angeles. We had family who that was out here. My dad's sister was out here, and so we moved to Los Angeles. And you know, my dad, whatever he had, you know, he was able to, you know, square away from Iran, was looking for a business to invest in. And in 1976, Glendale was this kind of this smaller, sleepy town adjacent to downtown Los Angeles, nothing like, you know, the behemoth metropolis mm-hmm. it is today. But these developers had empty land, and they developed the Glendale Galleria Mall in 1976. And this really wise, successful Armenian man, I think he was Ethiopian, if I'm not mistaken. He was Ethiopian-Armenian, and his name was coincidentally Baron Petros, which was my grandfather's name, my dad's father's name. And this guy was smart enough. I think he was a CPA. And when the Galleria opened, and this is in the early, you know, mid-70s, he already saw where Glendale was going with the influx of Armenians coming in from abroad. And he had the wherewithal to say, you know, in this brand new behemoth of a mall, there should be some Armenian, you know, store. So he took about a very tiny, I still have the original picture of my dad from the original store. It was maybe like 300 square feet, little kiosk in the food court. Yeah, I'll send that to you. I posted it on Facebook recently. And so in this 300 square foot little kiosk, Mr. Petros was, I think, about to retire. And he put a couple years into the store, and he just wanted to, you know, sell off and retire. So my dad purchased the business from him, and the Glendale Galleria was the first store, and he just worked, you know, 7 days a week tirelessly, putting in every effort and every dollar he had into the business, and just kind of grew from there. And it's to this day, it's one of the, I think one of only maybe one or three stores that are still in the Glendale Galleria from the original day when the Galleria opened. And so now, you know, we've grown to, six, locations in regional malls throughout Southern California. And we have plans to open up our seventh location, which will be a flagship, location in the city of Glendale. And that's slated to open sometime in 2021.
That's amazing.
That's in a nutshell. that's the story.
So because the original business started in the mall, was that the reason that you continued and you saw the need to continue having the restaurant in the mall? Or how did that, was it based on the first location and the success?
My dad, my dad, you know, he was an exceptionally smart businessman, and he saw that just like how people forget that before Panda Express, there was no such thing as fast food Chinese. There was takeout, right? You'd call your local restaurant. Everybody had a favorite Chinese local restaurant. You'd call, they deliver, you pick up takeout. But Panda Express, which by the way, the first one also was in the Glendale Galleria, the first Panda Express in the world. And that was the same concept that, you know, for a very reasonable price, he was making, Chinese food and selling it in malls. My dad noticed that, these were people who were, not Chinese by ethnicity. You know, there were other ethnicities that he was opening up the door. It was like a gateway, to Chinese food, foods that people haven't tried before. And that's what attracted him to the malls. That's why he didn't want to just open up like on a street and cater to Armenians or cater to the Iranian population, because he knew there's a lot of good, sit down Iranian, Persian, Armenian restaurants already throughout LA. It was spreading Westwood, LA, all over. He wanted to basically introduce this food to everyone else. The people who normally may not, walk in. Maybe there's a lot of people back then who were intimidated to walk into a Middle Eastern restaurant, not knowing what the food is. But when you're walking in the mall, you walk in the mall, you see hot dog on a stick, you see pizza, you see, a burger place, Panda Express, and then you're like, oh, what is this? And then, the food looks interesting and you try it. And if the food is good, my dad would always say, the restaurant business is very difficult, but the concept to grow is easy. If you just capture a new customer every day and that customer keeps coming back, you'll be successful. And I'll never forget when he said that, and I said, it is that simple. I mean, sometimes people they put too much emphasis in marketing and, mm-hmm. Everything else other than what's critical, which is the food and the customer, right? If you really break it down, I'm sure you have the same thing with, winemakers and the wine industry, of course, marketing is critical and all that, but that's kind of fluff, right? End of the day, if a wine can sell itself, it doesn't need marketing, right? It'll kind of organically grow. And, our philosophy has always been that organic growth is much better than just trying to you could put a Groupon, and say, hey, I'm, 50% off or free kebabs today, right? And you'll have a line out the door. But that's not sustainable, right? They're just coming in because it's free.
Exactly. And if the food is not good, they will not come back anymore.
Absolutely. And my dad was always about, giving enough food where a family of four can come and for a reasonable amount, feel like they had a decent quality meal, right? In the 80s, we saw the proliferation of fast food restaurants just explode, all the McDonald's and Burger King's and Wendy's and all that. And it just exploded, the drive-through scene. But the end of the day, these aren't traditionally healthy foods. So my dad tried to give people restaurant quality, home-cooked quality food that's freshly prepared, do it at a reasonable price, and do it so the customer is not going to, destroy their pocketbook to come back once or twice a week. And so that was his concept.
It's my experience. The first time when I saw the Maxis kebab, and when I came to US, I was living in Texas. So I went there for grad school. And because my husband is from LA, we would travel to LA. And the first time I went to a mall and I saw Maxis kebab, I was so excited, not only to see the name, but to see that it's an Armenian-owned business, and to see that, just like you said, people who don't know or who are new to this kind of cuisine were trying and eating it and enjoying it, and there was a line. And looking at the place looked so beautiful. They looked so fresh. And, of course, I had to order and eat it. And that was, I think, one of the most memorable experiences of my first time visiting LA, that I can go to a mall and I can have something like that delicious, you know, that's also Armenian. It was very exciting.
So when my dad passed away, we put up a picture of him, and then we had a little journal. And, you know, because people are coming by and saying, oh, my God, I remember him. He was like a staple of the mall. Like, he was always here. People just knew him as the kebab guy.
In Glendale.
He was always he would try to go to all the locations, but he was always – he had a little tiny office in the back. Yeah, and so he was always in the Glendale location. And so we had this – we left this journal and, you know, had people write some, you know, some notes to him, and a lot of them were, a lot of them were Mr. Mussies. My dad's name was Hakop, of course, but they're like, or Jack, people knew him as Jack or Hakop, but they would say, you know, thank you so much. I remember coming to the mall when I was pregnant, and, you know, you recommended this kebab, and it's been 20 years now. I've been eating the same thing, and you know, I didn't know what this food was. And thank you for always providing it. And then other people were like, a middle-aged guy who's like, I used to work at the Chess King, you know, which was a store that doesn't even exist anymore. it was like the gap, you know, of the time in the 80s, and I used to work at the Chess King store, and I used to come by, and I got hooked on the food since then. And again, these are people who are not, you know, Middle Eastern, Mediterranean food is not on their traditional menu. So these are people who got exposed to the food because it's easily accessible, the price points are great, and they were able to try this food. And you know, now when they go to another restaurant, like a Rafi's or a, you know, Shamshiri or, you know, sit down restaurant, they're not intimidated anymore. They know the food. They're like, okay, that's a kubideh. That's a chicken kebab. That's a tabbouleh. That's a hummus, you know, because they've been exposed to these foods at the mall. Yeah. And a lot of people think, you know, we've been successful because Glendale has such a big, Armenian population. And obviously, you know, that was the reason it was there. And that's the reason, you know, for the Armenian community has been very supportive. So I don't want to take away anything from that. But the reality is, we wouldn't be where we are if we didn't have other members of the community supporting us. Right. So, you know, my dad would always say it's better to own, you know, Toyota company or Honda over Rolls Royce, right? Because you could sell a lot more and serve a lot more people,
serve,
right?
More,
there's more,
exactly.
More people are going to buy Hondas and Toyotas than Rolls Royces. So the impact to the community is more. And that's kind of why he chose to stay in the kind of the fast food market. He just figured that's the best way to reach as many people and serve as many people as possible. And then you do have the people who come from out of town. You know, you're on the west side, and so you know, like the Century City Mall. Mm-hmm. You have to get a lot of out of towners from there, from that mall, and they're coming in from all over the United States. And you know, that's also, they come into the food court and they see Mossy's kebab, and you know, that's
it's always
something
busy.
They might take back. Yeah.
It always visit that location every time.
Well,
we go,
except except now.
Well, yeah. I would love to talk about that and how the situation has affected. Are there any changes in the business model that are going to happen? But I think we need to pick up that conversation after our quick break.
Sure.